Stefano, we're going to be talking with Crystal Webb now. She is from Roporua and she is a kaitiaki. We're going to bring it back to kaitiakitanga. She's been working for many years encouraging wahine to get out and do a bit of cleaning up, put some action into their intentions. So she joins me now. Kia ora ra, Crystal.
Oh, kia ora tohine kiri. Oh, it's so lovely to be able to talk to you.
Oh, wonderful to have you with us, e te tuahine, and thank you so much for joining. So, as I said, you've been doing mahi. What is it that got you started with this mahi?
Oh, so when I went for a walk up the Maunga on Mountain Road, Maunga Nongataha, just by seeing all the rubbish littered, like the amount, you know, it just broke my heart as like someone who would rather see no litter, you know. And I think it was for me from a Māori perspective of our ngahere, now our taiao, our whenua, it made me feel like, oh, that's not okay. So I knew I had to do something about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you have, part of that has been through the Miss Roporua Foundation. And you, of course, were named Mrs. Roporua just a few years ago and have been leading some of the newer contestants and Miss Roporua whānau out into the taiao. So they've swapped their high heels and their ball gowns and gloves. And have been up on Maunga for many years. What are some of the observations that you've made around what they go through, and because it's quite a change to go from glam into the paruparu. What are some of the things that you've observed with the wahine?
So there was definitely a change in their like attitude towards looking after the whenua, like from seeing the different type of rubbish that was littered there. They wanted to be eco warriors, you know, earth warriors. They wanted to continue doing that work, you know, and encouraging others to do it. Yeah, they put a lot of hard mahi in. You know, the things that we were collecting was just, you know how stink, you know, rubbish can be. So, especially when you find animal carcasses, you know, it's not okay. We shouldn't be finding that, you know. And the rest of the... Yeah, you've been there.
I have indeed. And I'm well acquainted with the scent, the aroma of a dead carcass. And it's sad to say, it's actually the hunters. And it just is the hunters because it's pigs or it's deer. Every now and again, there's a sheep who I'm thinking someone jumped the fence and got themselves a sheep and then, you know, gutted it and has thrown the puku and everything over the side of the cliff. And out of sight, but definitely not mind, because you know I find it ironic that hunters go out and they actually feed themselves from Papatua Nuku and her children, and yet will go back and desecrate. And for me, that's not a mark of respect at all. That's always an issue. What are some of the other things that you find up there regularly, Crystal?
Definitely a lot of alcohol bottles and cans. That's the worst thing. That's like the hangout area. And then you'll obviously see other substance use, like the meth pipe and the needles. So it tells me that our people are sick. You know, they're not well. And for those that obviously throw the rubbish, like, unwanted, like it's just not necessary when we know we've got a recycling system, you know. And being working in that company for Smart Environmental, I got to experience that recycling method and the need for education for people to know how to do it correctly and, you know, dispose of waste properly. It's just,
always a challenge. So, you know, one of the things that I've observed is that often the ones that are throwing this rubbish away, you know, it's a lot of takeaways, it's a lot of expensive looking kai, there's a lot of waste, there's a lot of food waste, and, you know, it's just almost a, you know, it's a bit of a contradiction when you've got someone with that much money that they can, you know, waste it on ways every night, but they can't organise themselves to dispose of their rubbish properly. And, you know, the petrol it would take to go up the Maunga and all of the effort could have just, you know, gone into a few extra bags and out to the dump, or, you know, recycle it. A lot of the stuff that I've picked up off that Maunga anyway, copious amounts of recycling. And as you say, the alcohol bottles, I always find them on the roadways too. And it just seems like when people maybe our young ones are out partying and they're on their way to the party, or they're going to go into town or whatever, and they don't want their vehicle filled with alcohol, and so it just goes out the window. And but in terms of ngā mahi mo te taiao, you don't just clean up, you know, Mount Nongataha, do you? Because you've actually been doing some other mahi for the taiao as well, in terms of within Rukurua. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, one of our cleanups, we were out Hannah's Bay, Holden's Bay. We did the public reserve area. We found the normal, you know, waste rubbish that you would find in those areas. But because that area didn't have as much, we had the church group that with Carl, the Latter-day Saints Mormon Church members, they all got together and filled up two trailers worth. And that filled a 9-metre skip bin full. So it would have weighed about 5 ton. There was trampolines, heavy washing machine type, you know, big items. And that's something that's also being dumped at Nongataha, is like mattresses. The organic cane, which I hope that Rotorua will start a collection. I tried to encourage it when I was working for Smart Environmental, so it's just having those trucks available and to do pickups like how Auckland does. The people put couches and all that sort of, so that's the big items, you know. It's where do they go other than the dump? You know, you obviously don't want to reuse a lot of it, so but that seems to be another issue. You know, even if the dump was free, people would still dump it somewhere, wherever it's nearby, you know. Paradise Valley's another big one, reserves. Yeah. And waterways is one of the biggest issues too, Wayne.
Well, it certainly is, and there's so much of this rubbish that's actually dumped into waterways. You know, in Auckland is a place where I saw it. It was horrendous around the inlets there, that, and the streams that would, you know, the contributories that were right on the edge of the tidal line, and the, you know, the water comes up and it freezes stuff out to Tangaroa. And ironically, it was always, I loved finding an intact rubbish bag because at least you could pull it all out at once. But what was annoying and frustrating in every other word was that they've even thought about throwing their rubbish into a waterway. And in some of them, and particularly, you know, around Mangere, Favona, some of those waterways are just absolutely diabolical. And they just seem, you know, the biggest frustration, and I'm sure you would have found it up at Ngātahatū too, the biggest frustration is clean it. And then you come back 2 weeks later and someone has undone it and just dumped their paripari there again. And,
yes,
and so being able to change people's mindset and change their behaviour. I mean, ultimately, you only want to clean up once. It's like being a parent, hey, you go and clean up after your kids and, oh my goodness, 2 minutes later, it's messy again.
Absolutely.
We're actually dealing with adults here because it's not kids dumping. You know, and so you did mention before about our people being sick, you know, people that are dumped not well. There's needles up there. There's, as we said, there's a whole lot of unhealthy kai in there. Often I'll find, and I'm sure you will too, find, doctors' appointments and prescription medicines and sometimes depression medication and these kinds of things. It's actually a reflection, the paiao and the state paiao is a reflection of the state that our people, our wairua is in, and not just Māori, because it's not just Māori, this is everybody. I've found Pacifica names, Pākehā names, it's across the board. I've found it in rich areas, I've found it in poorer areas. So what are some of the other observations that you've made around this, around the rubbish?
It's just heartbreaking to know how lazy people are too. That's like, I'm seeing household waste in their black bags. Like another thing I have experienced through working with Smart Environmental was when bins are failed.
Yes.
So you've got your glass bins, they're overflowing. So if they're not at the correct level and they've got loose bottles on top and they fall off and smash, that's extra work for the drivers, you know, and they collect over 200 plus a day. So that's why they have to be at the correct level. And I've seen some techniques in the bins that people will stack them upside down and all of that, but they will still get failed. It's got to be at the correct level, and that's why they're probably taking them up to the maunga, boom, throw it over the bank, easier. Instead of having it at the, you know, in the bins correctly and taken away. Yeah, right. That's something I was like, oh, no. This is why they need to be re-educated.
Organized,
yeah.
Just a little bit of extra organization. So this year you took some wahine up from Mount Ngātahatū, and every year you seem to be able to go up and fill a whole skip bin.
Yes.
Do you ever see an end to it?
We've had a talk with the council, and because the area is of the Ngāti Whakaue tribal lands, they have seen. So they're taking notice now and going to find solutions. There's a possibility that carvings could be put up there. Because the area, the maunga, is sacred. And every time we're up there, we tell our volunteers that, you know, it's a very sacred place, and I've kind of got proof in my photos. I'm one of those spiritual people, so that's why it does affect me and makes me continue to be a kaitiaki, you know, doing the right thing.
Oh, I want to hear a little bit more about this proof in your photos. Are you okay to share it, or is that something that you're keeping to yourself?
Oh, well, it is obviously people who are of that spiritual, visual-minded, when you can see faces in trees and stuff, when you take a picture, because back home where I come from, it is known, you can see things, yeah. They'll pop up in a photo, yeah. And I saw a face, a woman's face in the trees.
Oh, I'll be interested to see that picture. You know I'm going to come and find you.
I know. I'd love to send it to you. And if you're of that spiritually, like you are able to see, you'll see it, and you'll actually start seeing more. And there was like a rainbow, I'm not sure if it's called a, you know, the lighting in the photo, I could see some other faces, and like, you know, for me, that's telling me that they're looking at me going, good on you, thank you, you know, type, we can see what you're trying to do, and so they look after us while we're up there. And because, you know of the Patipaerehe, so, you know, the story, oh my goodness, with Ihinga, and there's another tupuna, our Tarikinga. I know there's others that will know the story, but I don't know the correct story. But yes, you know, so when you know of those things, you think, hey, what can happen up there in a spiritual sense? Yeah.
Lovely for you to get that that tohu that will keep you going, and that you feel that it's saying to you that you're in the right place, doing the right mahi. So very beautiful, very beautiful. Well, if anybody would like to help you out and come and join or start something with young rangatahi in their areas or wahine or tāne, if they would like to, you know, lead a group, what would your advice be to them?
Make contact with the people who will provide you the resources. Obviously, for us, it was the council and Smart Environmental. And get your group enough volunteers to know that you're going to be able to get the mahi that you're intending to do, you know, done. Because if there's not enough people, you kind of, it puts a lot more effort for such a small group. So it's good to have as many as you can. I mean, we've just about had 20 people every time we've gone up there. And with the help of Kar Wiripa, obviously I couldn't have done it without him and the Misrotorua ladies, you know, as part of the community service. Yes, I mean, I've got Megan Cooper. I have a huge thanks to her, you know, jumping on board and getting her hands dirty too, you know. So thanks to all the people who also supported us, like Love Soup, providing us with food and that, you know. It's making sure you have those sort of things in place.